This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Okay, Tucker. So tell us, you're down in Nashville, Tennessee. So tell us a little bit about your practice. Being in Nashville, I would think that you're a big entertainment industry lawyer.
Yeah, Nashville is a great hotbed right now for the hospitality and alcoholic beverage licensing sector of the law. For the last 15 years, we've continued to watch the overall economy and the restaurant, hotel, bar, entertainment space continue to thrive. You know, the recession set us back a little bit, but it came back stronger and better than ever. This is a very foodie place right now. There is tons of entertainment, especially live entertainment. The talent is incredible just because everybody wants to come try to get a music label. So,
isn't that terrific, and doesn't it make life interesting down there?
Yes, yes. Well, the diversity that the city has experienced, plus the different attitudes and new looks on life, have been somewhat of a blessing, because the sleek little town that Nashville was for years and years has now experienced what I would call more of a newer, vibrant lifestyle that is not your metroplex, but we receive a lot of the benefits from the metroplex, because you start looking at the ideas and concepts that are hitting your Chicago, Miami, New York, LA, Austin, Dallas. We're starting to be in that mix. Even though we are not the same size, we are drawing the exact same talent for restaurants, hotels, and bar concepts.
Okay, good. And of course, you've had a major supplier down there, more or less headquartered in Nashville for a long time, a little outfit called Jack Daniel's.
Yes. So Lynchburg is about an hour and 30 minutes away, and you think that the distance from Nashville to 75% of the whiskey or bourbon distilleries in the country is really just a hop, skip, and jump. So it's incredible that you can, in, you know, 2 hours or so, you can be anywhere on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, or you can do the Jack and Back tour to go to Jack Daniel's and George Dickel and a ton of the microbreweries and distilleries that have popped up throughout. Hit Kelso, Tennessee to go to Pritchard's, and the list goes on. You can go to Old Smoky in East Tennessee, and literally everything is 2 to 3 hours away.
That's absolutely terrific for you. Now, you're a partner at Burr and Foreman. I presume that you do more than just, or at least the firm does more than just alcohol beverage-related and entertainment industry-related stuff. Am I correct about that?
Correct. We're a 300-person-plus law firm with lawyers that do everything from start to finish of operating businesses, for creditors' rights to IP, trademark. Our kind of three biggest things that we do at the end of the day, I would say, are represent financial institutions and manufacturers. That's kind of one and two, and then a very, very strong presence in litigation. But we cover everything from intellectual property to international tax law to labor and employment and maritime law, deal with mass torts and construction and commercial paper issues on a daily basis.
Criminal law also or not?
No, not really. We do a little bit of white-collar criminal if it is dealing with specific client base already. But short of family law and short of criminal law, those are the two things that we really don't deal with. We deal with immigration issues, but that's kind of where we draw the line.
Right. And criminal law and family law both are really sort of way different from the commercial practice you've got. Am I right about that?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So you'd have to go off, to put it crudely, you'd have to go back to law school, so to speak, or hire some other people who know, who understand those fields to be able to do it. And you want to stick to your knitting.
Yeah, and you are either a top-tier Class A white-collar criminal law firm or a huge national family operation. You really don't have that as a component for a multi-sector law firm, because it's hard to cash flow unless you do it really, really well on a very big basis.
Right. Okay. Got it. So what led you to think about Amazon's merger with Whole Foods, or maybe I should say Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods?
because it's going to be the biggest game changer, I think, that anybody has seen in the alcoholic beverage space and the grocery space, because it's brilliant. I mean, people think, oh, Amazon's going to acquire a grocery store because they want to get into the sales of groceries. I think that's just scratching the surface of the reasoning.
That you've obviously been watching Amazon, because everything they've done so far, they seem to have had more than just, you know, a one purpose behind it.
Yeah. It's strategic and it's well thought out, because it takes the fact that you don't have that many brick and mortar stores, and you're competing in a world that all of your competitors are trying to get out of the brick and mortar store, because the cost to operate those brick and mortar stores will eat you alive. But what you've done is you've now taken an Amazon warehouse that is 60 miles or, you know, 75 miles outside of a major metropolitan area, and now you've got 15 different locations that you can use for a staging area to disperse throughout the metropolitan area without having to buy the new bricks and sticks or buy, and you've got the storefront that is self-sustaining.
Which is a good thing.
It's incredible. I'm like, the ability to have a cash flowing machine already and not have to go find the bricks and sticks and build what you want. Now you've got an already operational business with a grocery store with a specific area that you're already somewhat familiar with, because you're dealing with the group of individuals that have the net worth to pay for higher end groceries. You have the people that are very, very interested in eating healthy. You are dealing with the trendy space. You're dealing with the urban society. You've got all of this already in the consumer base for Whole Foods. And now you're rolling up the Amazon culture, which is the millennial culture, which is the convenience culture, all of those aspects. And you are saying, hey, look, we can do all of this other services. And that's the biggest problem with Amazon having the ability to go in the grocery space right now, because they tried. I'm saying this Amazon Now is incredible, but I can order a limited number of things because I can't get eggs and milk because it's sitting in a car for 45 minutes before it gets there, and that's if I'm the first stop.
Right, which is not a good way to operate necessarily.
Now,
tell me about the Amazon Prime Now program, if you will.
Sure. So you've got Amazon Prime that you have the ability to get two-day shipping in, I believe, 14 or 18 locations throughout the country, and it might be more now. It grows on an ever-rapid basis. There's a ability to have Amazon Prime Now. Now, it is a separate website from your just traditional Amazon, where it is a Amazon Now, and it's a guaranteed delivery within 2 hours.
Wow.
So what I can do is I can order something, and they will have it to me, and it's a limited basis. So you can't buy everything on Amazon Prime Now that you can on Amazon.
Right.
But you have the ability, and I'll just give you an example. You know, it's the middle of the summer. It's hot as everything. One of my boys got hot a month ago because he was sleeping, and we had the fan on, and so he wanted an oscillating fan that was close to his bed. Mm-hmm. Got on Amazon Now. It's Sunday at 3 o'clock. Got on Amazon Prime Now, clicked on it, and by 5, it was actually about an hour and 30 minutes, I'm outside playing with the kids, and this guy drives up, drops the fan off, and says, thank you very much, drives away. didn't have to interrupt my Sunday afternoon playtime with my kids. Very convenient, because I pull out my cell phone, I make 3 clicks, the wife and I look at a couple pictures and say, let's try this one. It charges my Amex. I didn't even have to think about going to the store, stopping what I was doing. The convenience factor is incredible.
And some other retailers are also going in that direction too, aren't they? I mean, I've seen some services for dog food, for instance, where you can order it and they'll deliver it to your house every month or every 2 months or whatever. It seems to me that the retail bricks and mortar operations are just sort of being eaten up in some respects, at least on the commodity lines, by the ability to not have to go to the store but just have it delivered. Now, when with the Whole Foods thing, I would assume that Amazon could do something else too. They could put their Amazon lockers thing inside Whole Foods stores, thereby drawing you into there to pick up something you ordered from Amazon online,
yep.
And in the process walk you through various amounts of food or other stuff.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And they've got the ability right now. You cannot deliver it. Like, let's just take Tennessee for a space that is easy to talk about. You cannot, Amazon could not have a delivery service for alcoholic beverages, okay, for wine or liquor. Amazon, by buying Whole Foods, has the ability to have an off-premise license. Retailers in the state of Tennessee have the ability to deliver now.
Ooh.
So all of this, yes. So all of this is happening very, very quickly to the fact that when the retailers decided to start delivering, that was because the retail liquor stores needed to start competing with wine and grocery stores, which happened July 1st, 2016. And as a component, they have the ability to deliver, and it's eroding from some of the liquor by the drink locations, because I go to a hotel and now I can order, you know, I can order a bottle of wine and a pizza from Domino's, and Domino's will literally go pick up my wine and bring it to me, and it's a point of sale. So the overall concept is just continuing to evolve so quickly that I don't think anybody is understanding the overall arching concept of very quickly Amazon will be able to deliver to your house.
So you're suggesting that this goes beyond what we've seen in the papers about, you know, Kroger is now in trouble or Walmart is now in trouble because Amazon, the big gorilla, has entered the space, to suggest that maybe Marriott's in trouble too.
I think that's scratching the surface where somebody's going, oh my goodness, now you have Amazon who can buy at a very discounted price because they've got so many people that want to be their vendors that they're going to erode some sales for Kroger. I take it three steps further, because it's not just the entrance of Amazon into the grocery space. It's now, Amazon now has brick and mortar stores to use as a staging hub to use for delivery services for everything. Kind of like your Amazon lockers, to the fact that now I can get, you know, organic milk for my newborn and have it delivered within an hour, and I know it's good quality because it's coming from Whole Foods. It's not a knockoff brand, and it's going to be done right, because now you have two major players that are standing behind the name.
Sure.
Plus the fact that it's going to transcend into the alcoholic beverage space.
And, of course, Amazon is a very technological firm and has huge warehouses that are super efficient, I gather. And But that's sort of Walmart's claim to fame, too. Walmart's a huge distribution operation. It's all logistics, not retail. So how do you think this impacts Walmart?
I think Walmart will adapt. Big Boy will figure out a way at the end of the day to be competitive. I think this erodes more of your local grocery stores, your chains that might be limited to one state or multi-state to a geographic, you know, southeastern or northwestern demographics. But I think Walmart, Bentonville is an amazing system, has an amazing system in itself, and kind of like what you were saying, it's more of a logistics company at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
Okay, good. And do you think the same thing about Costco?
I think Costco will have to adapt a little bit more. You know, you compare to the size of Costco versus the size of a Walmart or an Amazon, and you're talking apples and oranges. Costco is, I believe, and I've not really compared the number of stores, but I believe it would be very, very comparable to Sam's, which rolls up under Walmart's Big Boy.
Right. Okay. Now, how do you think this affects the impact on relationships within the three-tier scheme, the supplier, the distributor, and the retailer? How do you see this impacting that?
I think what it does is it starts putting some pressure on the three-tier system, merely and simply, because you're never going to have somebody. The way that the three-tier system and Tide House and all of that works is you will always have to make sure that you're not playing in the tier directly above you. But at some point, you know, states are making a very hard attempt to make sure that there's not bulk buying in the state of Tennessee or multiple other states that we continue to see. There is a clear distinction of just because you are buying hundreds of thousands of dollars on a weekly basis does not mean that you can get a significant discount that's not available to the mom and pop store. Now, there is always a discount of if you buy specific thresholds for location by location specific, you might be able to get some kind of discounted rate. But the exact same rate that I am able to obtain as a retail store in any of these states has to be available to you, the small-time business owner that owns two locations.
Okay. And how do you think this is going to affect the mom-and-pop stores?
I think the mom-and-pop stores have to start becoming more competitive. I mean, you look at what any of the big-box retailers did to the local hardware store, to your local grocery store, to your local clothier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these people were impacted by convenience and discounted rates. So you've got to take a hard look and figure out how you can stand out and make yourself different from the retail chains.
That makes a lot of sense. Will states begin tightening restrictions on the sale and distribution of alcohol to protect retailers from competition?
I could argue that both ways.
That means you're a good lawyer.
Yes. I think that at the end of the day, the amount of capital that is going to be put in to lobbying for big box stores, you see it throughout the United States on so many different levels where when you have the ability to lobby and you're not trying to do something that is unconstitutional, it's a give-and-take game.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at specific states that had limitations, and once again, Tennessee is an easy one for me to continue to just shout out about. 5 years ago, you could only have one liquor store in the state of Tennessee, and that is from the city of Memphis to the city of Johnson City and Union City to Chattanooga, which spans, you know, two time zones and about 7 hours worth of driving time from corner to corner if you really wanted to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did not believe that it was beneficial to have a specific location that had more than one liquor store. Now,
right.
You have wine and grocery stores where Kroger has 100 licenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walmart has 150 licenses. This list continues to grow to the point where the laws are changing favorably for the bigger institutions because the states have the ability to get cash generation. I mean, it's all about making the state's budget increase to improve schools and roads and the benefits for their residents.
Okay, I see that and I understand it. Now, we talked about the retailers, but I wonder about the impact of this on distributors themselves. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, the guys who run Southern Glaciers have spent the last 20 years putting together a nationwide distribution system, but that's what Amazon has, and, you know, will
but
this
I cash
sort of
out because they don't play in that space. I mean, if I'm if I'm any type of big distributor wholesaler, this is my time. The same way that, you know, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway started buying Horizon. They started buying liquor store. I mean, wholesalers throughout the country
mm-hmm.
because they
mm-hmm.
see the benefit. So I think it is going to be very, very lucrative for the wholesalers because they've already got the logistics and systems in place. They've got the relationships. Different states have what is called wholesaler contracts. So that means that if you are buying a bottle of Jack Daniels in any of these 40 counties, you're buying it from one guy.
Right.
And those wholesaler contracts are harder to separate than the most complex divorce. So based on that, if you, Amazon, want to sell Jack Daniels, you've got to come through me. Now,
mm-hmm.
hey, look, I could sell my wholesaler license and, you know, you or the overall company for a nice multiplier.
Mm-hmm. So you think that it's possible that Southern Glaciers and RNDC and all those boys will possibly consider selling out to Amazon to add to their distribution network?
I would.
Okay. And, of course, the tax laws currently would encourage that, too, wouldn't they?
Correct.
I mean, unless they've got a huge life insurance policy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So there are specific benefits that you can take advantage of opportunities now. Now, you got to remember, as I've previously discussed, this stuff is evolving so quickly that I think it's leaving some people with their head spinning because you're planning to go right, but everybody's moving forward, but not everybody's moving in the same direction forward because everybody's got an angle.
Right. Which makes lots of sense.
Yep.
Good.
Well, what's beneficial for me might not be the same as beneficial for you, but yet we can both capitalize off of it.
Right. Right. So give me a bottom line here. How do you think the industry will look in, say, 5 years? At least in, let's just talk about just the state of Tennessee. Make it easy. I mean,
yeah.
I would assume that Tennessee equals Kentucky equals Indiana equals Illinois equals, you know, Nebraska or wherever. But
yeah.
Let's just talk
Florida,
about Tennessee
Alabama,
because you know
Alabama.
That. Yeah.
Okay,
or
so
going the other way, Florida,
will,
Alabama, and so on.
I think in 5 years, it is a legislative battle. I think that it is gaining traction. I think in 10 years, the foundation is set. I think in 15 years, I'm going to get everything online. If it's through Walmart, because Walmart has figured out how to join up with a logistics company, that it be UPS, FedEx, Uber, or its own company that it creates. Walmart's going to figure out a way to compete with Amazon, and then that brings into the next question of Amazon is going to be steamrolling ahead, and at what point do we get to the point where the drone just comes, drops my box off at my front yard?
If I didn't know better, I would think that you were looking forward to that moment, Tucker.
I think that there are always some privacy concerns because of the overall, arching issue of, hey, where are those things flying? What are they videotaping? What are they doing over my house kind of deal? But at the same time, we as a society are moving extremely fast, and the ability to transfer information is to the point where it's of no return to slow the train down. So we are 10 years today from the day that Apple released the iPhone, and how just everybody's day-to-day life has changed because you have something in your hand that is now a computer. It is not just a one-way telephone where I can pick up and call you to have a voice conversation. I can write a book from my phone if I needed to.
Yeah, you could.
You throw in Bitcoin, and I can sell everything from a remote country in East Asia by phone.
Very, very good. Now, I've taken up about 30 minutes of your time, otherwise known in your trade as half a billable hour. So what is there that we have not talked about that you think we should have talked about? What did I not ask you that I should have asked you?
Relative to the whole food concept or licensing in the future in general?
Both. Let's be greedy.
Okay, so the whole foods concept, I think that, I am of the opinion that it is a whole lot more complex than just a acquisition of a high-end urban grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
From a licensing standpoint, as a licensing lawyer that helps people throughout the country, I think the next 20 years from a licensing standpoint will be the most significant time of laws changing relative to licensing since the Prohibition.
Interesting. Very good. Well, thank you very much for your time, Tucker. We appreciate it. I wish you well, and I hope that you have an opportunity. You sound like you should be able to practice for another 30 or 40 years, so you should be able to enjoy all this excitement that's going to go on down there.
Perfect, Joel. If you don't mind, when you put something in writing, will you send me a copy just so I have one for my file?
Absolutely will. I'll, and I expect to do that in about 15 minutes. That means start writing this. So you know, I'll get it to you sometime tonight. Let me have your email because I don't have that.
Sure. It's THERNDON at burr.com.
THERNDON, right?
Yes. THERNDON at burr.com.
Okay, good. Excellent, Tucker. I appreciate your time. And
do y'all have any printed, or is it just straight digital?
We do both. So
perfect.
I'll send you.
I'd love a copy of the printed.
I'll send you a copy of the printed, especially if this is the lead story, which it may be. I'll send you a flat copy so you can frame it and hang it in your office. And then when
perfect.
The people who are in this industry that come by your office to talk to you, they'll see it and think that we're both wonderful.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Have a great 4th of July holiday.
You too, and be safe and enjoy the summer.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.